Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate New York, and also through our links to Boston, Massachusetts, and Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, NMLS number 37405. Hunt Mortgage is a proud equal opportunity lender. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our very skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs, and you'll want to make sure you do that in today's very interesting market. Also, ask about our many exclusive programs, including our unique pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. In today's still very competitive residential real estate market, where there is still a shortage of listings, believe it or not, when you find the house you want to make sure that your offer is as strong as possible when there's often more than one offer. From a seller's perspective, cash is very persuasive. Working with a skilled Hunt sales professional armed with your pre-purchase commitment, your offer is the equivalent of cash. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And you may find yourself now in a house that was right for you when you bought it years ago, but you've outgrown it, or maybe it's outgrown you. In any case, it no longer meets your lifestyle. But where are you going to go, even if you were to sell for a great price? Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate have combined to solve that problem through the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home. We've combined a bridge loan and a guaranteed sale on your present house to get you out looking for that right house for you now. To learn more about any of our unique programs, call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700. That's 716-633-3700 for personalized, customized service that we think will knock your socks off. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. Sabres are looking pretty good these days. They're playing tonight at home. And, of course, the Bills game tomorrow night will be a national spotlight for Buffalo. And we are also proud supporters of our Bisons. We look forward to seeing them in the spring. And we're very happy to have them back here in Buffalo after extended stay away. We're broadcast live on WBN 930 AM or 98.5 FM HD3. And you can listen live anywhere in the world through the Odyssey app or WBN.com. So tell your friends out of town to listen to us. And for those of you who'd like to participate in today's show, if you have any questions or comments about any aspect of real estate, call or text us here in the studio at 716-803-0930. And if you're long distance, it's 1-800-616-9236. And if you're mobile, it's star 930. Those are all free calls. We have a very special show for you today. Live remote is my good friend Edwin Johnston III, the founder and co-managing partner of Sandhill Investment Management. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Peter.
It's good to have you back. Just looking over my notes, and last time you were here was on the show with me was September 4th of 2021. That was seems like an eternity ago, given what's happened in your world. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about Edwin Johnston III.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
No, I didn't. I didn't expect that. So I'm currently talking from South Carolina, and I split my time between Buffalo and South Carolina. I'm a native Buffalonian, grew up in Buffalo, love it, came back at the age of 35, and very involved in the community through numerous organizations. founded Sandhill when a long time ago at the age of 41, and grew it into a very nice operating business. It does business in 43 states in the country. Most importantly, taking care of our clients and being good fiduciaries for them. My great love is the equity markets and the fixed income markets, and actually, interestingly, most recently, the real estate markets. We've gotten into industrial real estate as well. And so Big Buffalo Booster home, and just pleased and proud to be part of the community.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because our mission here on this show is to help our listeners protect and enhance their investment in all forms of real estate here in Western New York and really anywhere they may be. But one of the things that you just mentioned is interesting. Why are you shifting at least some of your attention towards real estate?
You're always very good with your questions. So going back to our conversation a year ago, remember that interest rates were at zero. And, you know, as people retire or as they put their financial plans together, they need income. And the bond market is 100% different today, but the bond market offered no yield. And on your last show, we talked the last time I was on your show about the dark side of easy money. And, of course, those days are now over. So we moved into industrial real estate through a private REIT when the 30-year Treasury was offering 2%, and we were able to garner 6.5%, and 70% of that income was tax protected due to the structure of the real estate deals. And it's actually worked out really well. The reason I liked industrial is my line has always been, you can have all the Amazon.coms you want in the world, but someone still has to build the products. So industrial real estate, especially good industrial real estate, will never go out of style. And so we entered that market. And, of course, with inflation, the value of the assets that have been purchased have gone up, and the cash flows have increased from the property. So that's been a very nice investment, as opposed to malls or office space or other things, which we were leery of. The private REIT has done very well. So that was a win for us, and we began that in August of 20. So that's why we moved into that space, basically due to lack of yield in the Treasury markets and the corporate fixed income markets.
Recently, Tim, you wrote a newsletter to your clients. And the first sentence says, the bear market is over. Describe that to...
I said it's not over.
Oh, not over. Excuse me. Very important word I left out there. My yeah. Apologies. So let's talk about, if you would, talk about how we got here and why you think the bear market may not be over.
So basically, we had a big bubble. During COVID, it's very difficult to recognize things in real time. And bonds became fixed income, very overvalued. Stocks became very overvalued. Certain aspects of real estate became very overvalued. Crypto was ridiculous and has since crashed. So a number of asset classes became, it was a bubble. And that was due to the fact that it costs very little to borrow money. And when it costs very little to borrow money, people will indiscriminately buy things. Well, I can put down $100 and borrow $900 to buy something for $1,000, but I'm really not paying much interest. So for $100, I bought something for $1,000. Isn't that dandy? Well, that's fine as long as the interest rates stay low and you're in effect almost borrowing the money for quote unquote free. Well, that in the long run, that doesn't really work, because what happens is that causes inflation. When anybody can buy anything Maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but it's very easy to buy things that you can't afford. It will push prices up. So the bottom line is you have money that is almost free, and it causes inflation. And so we now have very torrid inflation running through the U.S. economy. Most recently, year over year, it's been running at about 8%. And as a consequence, the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates numerous times. They're meeting again next week on November 1st and 2nd. They probably will raise interest rates another 0.75%. And where Fed funds, which is what the banks set their lending rates off of, were at 0 to 0.25% a year and a half ago, the lending rate from the Federal Reserve, the Fed funds rate, will be at 4%. And that is a dramatic, almost a shock to the system, if you will, in terms of all that money that was borrowed. All of a sudden, not all of it is fixed. Most loans in the United States are floating. All of a sudden, those interest payments are real, and those things you thought you could afford, you can't afford. And as a consequence, it will slow down the economy, which is exactly what the Federal Reserve is trying to do. It is trying to take the demand function out of our economy. So the bottom line here is until the Federal Reserve is done increasing interest rates, the stock market will not go up. And if you think, sorry for the long-winded answer, but if you think of the pain of this, say the stock market is, you know, yawing all over the place, but say it's down 25% this year. It's actually a little better than that now because the market had a good week. So you've lost 25% of your equity portfolio. But here's the really painful and more subtle part. Inflation's running at 8% year over year. So in real terms, you've actually lost 33%. And so that really is rather daunting. So until the Federal Reserve finishes raising rates, the market will have a very difficult time getting back on track. So we're going through a cycle. We're resetting the demand function in our economy. I know we've had a good month in October, but I don't think we've seen the lows. I'd say we're 75 to 80% of the way through the bear market. Look forward to it being over.
The other side of this whole series of events, Tim, and I'd like your thoughts on this, was the massive infusion of cash into the system through all kinds of actions of the national government. How does that balance, or does that just added fuel to the fire? It wasn't just low interest rates. It was the fact that there was checks were arriving in people's homes, and all of a sudden they had money to spend. What portion of this mess that we're in right now could you ascribe to that?
Well, so that's a very good question. Yes, you had all the money come in from the pandemic relief, but I think the more important thing is the Federal Reserve, in order to increase the money supply, they bought $8 trillion worth of bonds. So basically the federal government printed money is what it comes down to. The money has to come from somewhere. And so they bought treasuries, and they bought corporate bonds, and they bought mortgage backs, and they bought them from people, and they bought them from banks. And so all that money got infused into our economy. And then you add the PPE program the relief program for businesses. And so, and you have 0% interest rate. So it really was a triumvirate of things. It was just a massive stimulation to the economy, because remember in March of 2020, everybody was like, oh my God, the world's ending. I mean, it was a scary time. You know, you thought if you caught COVID, you were going to die. And that had people unnerved, and people weren't leaving their houses. And so how's the economy going to function? And so we threw everything at it that the U.S. government had. And that was the right thing to do. But as usual, because it's not a perfect science, they overdid it. And so basically all we're doing now is unwinding all of that. So the Federal Reserve is now letting all those bonds mature that they bought, and the money is flowing the other way. They were expanding their balance sheet, now they're shrinking it. All that PPE money that was infused in the economy, that 100% is still there, and interest rates have gone up dramatically. It's the worst, the fastest rise in interest rates since the 1970s, the Paul Volcker era, half a century ago. The bond market is even sort of a more dramatic event than the stock market, if you will. So you're right, Peter, in that you've had three things happen at once, and we're just basically, you know, we're paying the bill now. That's about what it comes down to.
One of the things that politicians are claiming now is that, and this is from the administration, that they've reduced the deficit or the national debt by something like $1.7 trillion. But what I read is that the national debt is now $31 trillion plus, and I haven't seen it be reduced by a penny. How do you make sense out of that? Or can you?
Well, first of all, I'm not that smart. And second of all, there are a couple of different thoughts on this. So the deficits are smaller, but they're still dramatically large. The deficits during, the pandemic and the latter half of the Trump era were massive. They were staggering and into the multi-trillions per year. Simply unsustainable. And if $31 trillion is our deficit, I think our GDP, U.S. GDP, something like $25 trillion, something like that. I'm not sure. Maybe a little bit north of that. Sort of the rule of thumb is once you pass your debt is more than one time a country's revenue, it can become problematic. And the poster child for that is Japan, where their deficit is 200% of their GDP. They have negative interest rates over there because there's no economic growth. And so basically you just choke your economic system with debt. And it becomes, remember, the government must service the debt. And in fact, the discretionary part of U.S. government spending is getting smaller and smaller because you've got the third rail, of course, Social Security and Medicare of American politics. You have to service the debt, and the discretionary amount, those are just sort of chewing up the whole federal budget. There's another, which I'm really thought it through. There's another side of thinking now, which is called modern monetary theory, I think it is, MMT, that it doesn't matter. We can print as much money as we want, and it doesn't matter. Deficits don't matter because we're in control of our own currency and we're reserve currency. I think the U.S. dollar is about 61.2% of the world's reserve currencies. And that's a long, complicated argument, but because we are a reserve currency, we can print money. So Greece can't print money. Italy can't print money. The central bank in Europe, the euro, they can print money. We can print money. But, of course, you degrade your currency and you degrade the value of that currency if you do that. So deficits people have been worried about them for, 50 years, and it doesn't seem to have caused the problem. I think the main event is really more around inflation at this point in time and getting that 8% inflation, because it's a real killer. You know, if you're making 50 grand a year and you go to the supermarket and it costs $6 to buy a pint of blackberries, it gets really difficult to live. Inflation is supremely crippling when a society loses its purchasing power.
Yet the dollar is strong. How do you rationalize that?
Well, the dollar is strong because we're raising interest rates. It just means that other currencies relative to ours, remember, we're a reserve currency, we're increasing interest rates. It doesn't mean inflation's any lower. Inflation is, and the American consumer, to your point, all that money that was floating around, American consumer, here's the problem, is actually in pretty good shape. You know, it doesn't feel like a recession, not yet. Who knows whether it's coming? That's a prediction, and those are generally, you know, worthless. Predictions are overrated. But inflation, just, you know, go to the gas pump, go to the supermarket, just you know, try and purchase a cow. It's incredible the cost of how much the cost of goods and services have gone up. It's remarkable. So your wages might be going up 5% a year. They used to go up 2% a year. They're now going up 5% a year. But you're still losing ground if inflation is running at 8%. And the mandated job of the Federal Reserve is to achieve price stability, which is elemental to the U.S. economy. And they like prices to rise 2% a year. That's their goal and that's their target. And they're rising at an 8% clip. And to date, you know, people saying, well, they're seeing signs, but that's the latest data point. I do think things are slowing down a little bit. But what has people pretty nervous here is they may have to take Fed funds not to 4. They might have to take them to 6 to get inflation under control. They might have to take them to 8. Paul Volcker took interest rates to the mid to high teens to break the back of inflation in the 70s, which was a horrible economic time and caused the twin recessions of 80 and 82. And then, of course, inflation broke its back, and then the stock market took off for 20 years. So that's the bright side of this. You don't want it to all be doom and gloom, the equation, if you hung in there through that cycle. But inflation the deficit is not the main event here. It's all about inflation and where interest rates are going. That's the whole game right now.
We've got to go to break in a minute, but you bring up an important point about the sense that the personal balance sheets of people out there don't seem to be that bad. They seem to have at least a bit of buying power left in cash in some way, shape, or form. You also point out indirectly that our employment situation is very strong. So that's, I think, some argue that that's the reason why we don't feel like there's recession going on yet in this situation. Yet we see, particularly in the tech industries and also in the finance world, that all of a sudden jobs people are being let go. But if you do have a job and interest and inflation is 8.2 or 8.3%, whatever it happens to be today, basically you've lost 1 month's earnings, out of 12. Just because of inflation. Now, as you point out also accurately, there's about a 5% growth in wages this year, so your net loss is maybe 3%, but the fact of life is it's still the wrong direction. We're going to end this negative discussion on that note, and when we come back, we're going to take a look at the positive side of all this, which I know you know very well. We'll be right back with more From Our House to Yours after these important messages.
Buying a home can be challenging, especially if you need to sell your current house first. Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate are here to help with the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home. This innovative program features a bridge loan from Hunt Mortgage along with a guaranteed sale of your current home when you partner with a Hunt Real Estate sales professional. Visit huntmortgage.com/Golden Gate for more details. The Golden Gate from Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate. Your equity when you want it, your home sold guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the continuously improving huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find not only a complete inventory of homes available in any of the markets we serve, but you're also going to find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our exclusive program that is your assurance of the lowest rate and closing costs, the Second Look program, call today 633-3700 and ask for details. If you watch television, turn your computer on or your phone, you are inundated with mortgage offerings, particularly to refinance your current mortgage, which is really an interesting idea today. How are you going to know if you're getting the very best deal? Well, let us take a second look through Hunt Mortgage's Second Look program. There is no risk or cost, and we're so convinced this will help you, you're going to receive a gift certificate just for allowing us to take that second look at whatever you receive from any other lender, and that could be also if you're buying a home as well. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. We are live remote today with my guest, Edwin Johnston, the founder of Sandhill Investment Management. We've been talking about a lot of issues relative to the economy today, and we kind of ended on a little bit of a negative note after the first segment there, Tim. I'd just like to go back to what you were talking about earlier in terms of the strength of the industrial real estate segment. Delve into that a little bit. You mentioned that things need to be made someplace. What do you see in terms of the return of industry to our shores as opposed to so much industry that went offshore in the last couple decades?
Well, I think the reshoring of U.S. manufacturing is fantastic. And also, to be clear, Peter, there's much to be optimistic about. It's just that, economies go through cycles. And so you have to recognize that. My job is to give the financial advice and to invest money appropriately and prudently. So you need to recognize the environment you're in and so on and so forth. But I'll come back to that. But I will say that there are opportunities that do abound during the last cycle from 2009 to the beginning of 2022. The stock market went up 852%. So don't run out and sell your stocks. We bought a Goldman Sachs bond last week, a four-year bond. We got 5.8%. Remarkable. We just bought another nice piece of paper on Friday. We got 6.5%. So all of a sudden, the bond market is terribly attractive. As we move out of the next cycle, there'll be a lot of opportunities to make money in the capital markets. And one of the remarkable things about the United States, I've done this a long time, to be amazed at how incredibly corporate America and the U.S. capital markets, there's no one close to it in the world. No one can touch it. And, I always think that'll change, and it's no different than it was 40 years. It's really remarkable and wonderful how our economy operates, and we're very lucky to live in this country. With regard to the industrial real estate, the reshoring of things. An example is 60% of semiconductors in the world are made in Taiwan. Of course, people are worried about China taking a whack at Taiwan. That would be a big event. But we have $20 billion being invested in Arizona for two large Taiwan Semi and Intel are the companies, I believe, two huge semiconductor foundries. And people have learned through all the supply chains being just messed up that actually paying a little more for labor but having control over your supply chains has led to a reshoring of American manufacturing. And I think it is paramount that the United States keep its industrial backbone. It's good to be in control of the things that you need to produce, as simple as that. So that's a trend, and I think that's a terrific trend.
Two particular industries in this state have announced massive expansions of their facilities. One is GlobalFoundries in the Capital District, and the other is Micron in Central New York, in Clay, New York, as a matter of fact, where we have an office. It's very interesting to see how those decisions are made. If you were to look at them from the outside, what are the key factors in a decision to make a $100 billion investment in a state like New York?
Well, I think it's great. It's in New York, but it's a question of national security. During COVID, you couldn't buy a car because there weren't any semiconductors. So at one point, it was either GM and Ford had 100,000 cars sitting in their lots without the semiconductors. Everything else was built. So if you think that Taiwan produces, go back to that, 60% of the world's intelligence on silicon. And again, I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but Xi in his most recent speech basically said we're moving up the timetable to reunify China with Taiwan. And Biden has said we will go to war over it. He said we will fight. So I think it's really an issue of national security. And interestingly, the U.S. has the best equipment to build semiconductors in the world, and we have the most advanced chips. And we have gone so far as to say to China, you're no longer getting that stuff. So basically, we're taking back an industry we invented in California, Andy Grove, Intel, the 60s and 70s. And again, went for the cheaper labor. Let's make them in Korea. Let's make them in China. Let's make them in Taiwan. And then we'll export them back here. We'll design them. You make them. But that doesn't work anymore. So I think at the very base, it's a question of national security and important that we do that. I think it's really that simple. That we have two massive projects in New York State. I think it's wonderful, terrific. We'll be huge employers. Those are high wage jobs, and those are complex jobs. So we'll attract great talent and good minds, and I think that's all fabulous.
We have a text coming in, and I'm quoting now. It's great that they're bringing back manufacturing, but the results will be higher prices because of higher wage demand. Reason it left was price and quality. Is that your feeling?
Well, that's a really, really good question. I think that the U.S. is we talk to corporate America all the time. Look at their bottom lines. I think that the quality issue, we're far better. I think corporate CEOs in the United States and companies understand if they do not make good goods, they will not be bought. And I think they get that. I think a good example is, you know, I look at how far General Motors has come. I mean, at one point, their cars were so bad, they were almost undrivable. They've come an incredible way. I think the U.S. has really taken to understanding that we need to produce quality goods. The higher labor prices, remember, the cost to ship something during COVID across the Pacific went up ninefold during COVID. So labor isn't all of the cost of a product. It's part of the cost of goods sold of any particular product. So if labor is 20% of what a product costs and wages are 20% higher here than a product's going to cost 4% more. So I get that, but there are offsets to that, which are, you know, lower shipping costs, more efficient supply chains, doesn't have to be transported as much by truck to get to the final destination. And the other thing is, and this is the key, is so much more of factories are automated now. An area where we love to invest on the equity side is industrial automation. Think Rockwell Scientific, something like that. And so many of the labor jobs, are now done by machines which work with more precision. So the way to take cost out and the way to make better goods is through industrial automation. You can say, well, wait, loss of jobs. Well, there are two jobs. There are two openings for every one person who's looking for a job. So we don't have that. We're, again, blessed in the United States. So I think that's somewhat true, but the world has changed in that the cost of shipping and industrial automation and control of supply chains trump what that text said, but it's a good point and one to be mindful of.
You know, it's interesting. It's not just the industrial world that is benefiting through automation, but even the service sector is benefiting through automation. The consumer benefits through that as well, because you can lower costs in the service sector considerably through automation, automated intelligence, and other aspects of actually the production of the service itself. And it's something that we're seeing in our industry. We have to go to break right now. We'll be back shortly after these very important messages from our house to yours.
Especially if you need to sell your current house first. Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate are here to help with the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home. This innovative program features a bridge loan from Hunt Mortgage along with a guaranteed sale of your current home when you partner with a Hunt Real Estate sales professional. Visit huntmortgage.com/Golden Gate for more details. The Golden Gate from Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate. Your equity when you want it, your home sold guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously improving, huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Go there today and find out. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment, the Golden Gate, and the Second Look program. Call them today. These are wonderful programs that make it a lot easier for you to get into that next house. We are live remote today with one of my favorite guests, Edwin Johnston, that we know as Tim, who's been sharing his insights into the financial markets and their impact really on everything that we're doing, including real estate. Tim, before we get back to our topic at hand, we have a couple callers online. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you. Very interesting. There's a lot, although we have unemployment low, what I hear a lot is the difficulty in getting help. The workforce participation rate seems unusually low, locally, I think, and nationally. And I'm just wondering whether you think that's an enormous problem or not a problem at all. And it seems like on the high end, the high tech area, you've got tons of people wanting to work. But in lower, especially like restaurant people, you hear this all the time, they can't get anybody to work. Would you talk about that?
That's a great question. It's a real problem. And I think that when jobs are plentiful, no one wants the lousy jobs, right? So you first sort of had the, well, everybody got PPE money and got relief checks, and so there was no motivation to work, and that's true. And then you've seen the economy recover, and you've seen retail stores, restaurants, lower end manufacturing jobs, even skilled labor, electricians, plumbing, in some cases, have heard stories there. And it's definitely an issue. And that's goes back earlier to the point of, and I don't want to keep coming back to the Federal Reserve trying to cool off our economy. And, you know, when there are less jobs, people are more willing to be flexible or look at what they will take. You also have a second factor is that the baby boomers are, we've got a demographic problem. They're aging out. I'm a baby boomer. So is Peter. And that was, the largest population generation over multiple generations. And, I won't disclose Peter's age. He looks 40. But, you do have an issue. Japan suffers from the same problem. China's got a terrible problem with that. So you've got people are living longer, plus the societies are getting older. And so the broad thought is that there's not enough labor in the United States to support our society, which gets back to automation and so on and so forth. So you've hit on, I think, another really interest rates has been a big theme, a key and elemental thing. Do we have enough labor to satisfy the demands of the economy? Do we have a basically bottom line is do we have a big enough workforce? I don't have quite the knowledge to answer that, but that's something that we look at. And, humans are, there's a lot of ingenuity in the human race and certainly in the American economy figuring out ways around that. But again, still have to cook a meal and it's still got to be put on the table. There's no way around that. You can't do that in the metaverse or in digital space. So the world is still analog, if you will. Not a great answer, but you hit on a very important point. Do we have enough people? Lastly, and I said it, but I think it's important, when the economy is running hot like it has been, people don't have to take the lower wage or the lesser jobs, and that's just a function of a very, very good economy, possibly overheated economy. That's a good question.
Timmy, expand a little bit on that. Talk to the point that there's going to be this enormous transfer of wealth from the baby boomers to the next generation, and what will be the impact of that in your world, for example, in the investment world?
So I don't know what I don't know. I don't really, I don't have a a huge opinion on that. There may be a transfer of wealth, but the government certainly will take some of it. I think, as you know, I'm more driven by what an individual corporation is going to do, not just what the market's going to do. Spend more time on the individual company side. I think that's where the rubber meets the road. I don't really have an opinion on that, Peter, to be honest with you. That's not a factor. That's not something I've thought about or explored.
Well, I think we should, because what I read, there's going to be an enormous amount of money that moves from one generation to another as baby boomers age out and frankly pass away. And when that happens, I think there's going to be – I think it will have a very positive effect on our economy, because there will be some that goes to the government, like you say, and that will hopefully help to pay down some of our debt. And in addition to that, there will be a generation with increased wealth that I think will hopefully spur a lot of investment in lots of things, including real estate. We have another caller on the line, Timmy. This is Frank from Holland. Frank, how can we help you?
Well, I was going to bring up the question that your previous caller brought up, but let me expand on that. I don't think we have the skilled labor force out there to fill all these jobs. We're looking at Moog that's internationally headhunting. And me personally, I'm one of those baby boomers, and I'm transitioning careers. And when I transition career from my lifestyle and my education and my professional experiences, getting into a high-tech field like that is really difficult. I mean, I'm internet and tech savvy, but not to the point where I could go out to Clay and get a job there. So do you think that the transition of the baby boomer generation is being accommodated by, the brain drain in the U.S. is being accommodated by the free tuition going on? And how long do you think it'll take for those tech jobs and students to come out of school and potentially fill those jobs efficiently for the nation to be able to survive that?
Interesting question. How would you respond to that, Tim?
Well, it's always been, and we talked to it, and Moog is such a fine, fine company. It's really a battle for engineering talent is what it comes down to. And you want to talk about wage inflation. So you have a couple things going on there. I don't think we're putting enough engineers through the, which is very, very difficult. You've got to be smart. You got to be disciplined. Have to have a certain kind of mind. It's fascinating stuff. You know, they're all different kinds of engineers, of course, but the engineering talent, you have to have the people who can figure out how to build the building or build the computer or design the semiconductor. And we've always, the United States has always been great at that because of our higher educational institutions. And, you know, there's a thought that, you know, people don't want to go through the pain of that, that, you know, they want the easier road. And is that a function of, well, we're just all in our, you know, 50s and 60s and we're thinking like our parents who said the same thing? Or is that really true? And I think an important point here, and I'm reticent to, you know, get into it, but it touches on politics, is we really clamp down on the number of visas that were being granted for people to come into the United States. And of course, we are going back. I'm Irish. We all came off a boat somewhere, or our forebears did. It's really that simple. But I think that closing our doors, you know, we've brought in a lot of engineering talent from China, from India. Some of these people have repatriated back to their countries. Some have stayed here. Not that we as Native Americans can't do that, but we have always added to our talent pool. That's been one of the great strengths of our company, but it's also now a point of divisiveness. So you have an issue. Do we have enough people in the fields that we need to be in to replace the engineering talent, which is so vital to these corporations? And are we allowing the in a proper way, let me be clear, the right amount of talent into this country to augment our pool, which happened all through the 1700s, 1800s, and 1900s, no different. And I hope that spigot isn't shut off, because I think that would be a mistake as well. And, of course, it all needs to be documented and legal and all that jazz. But, again, I think that is a great, great concern, both the talent, the willingness to do the work, and having enough people in the engineering and sciences fields to keep the United States at the head of the innovation curve, which has been the key to our economy.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit on you, Timmy. I want to go back to our original point of our discussion, and that is what's happening in the markets today. And it's more than just the effect in the world that you live in. It affects our world very, very much right now. We're looking at interest rates that are almost double what they were 8 or 9 months ago. So this is a very, very point of inflection, I think, in our world as much as it is in yours. You write a few things. First of all, you say that your stock and bond books are properly set for the next cycle. Just take a minute and describe what you mean by that.
Well, we got a Sandals really only have one really bad year in its history. We were founded in the roots of O2, official track record of Canada, in 04. 21 was not a good year for us. It was also the height of the bubble. And so we couldn't find anything to buy because you had to pay 60 times earnings for a good tech stock and da-da-da, so on and so forth. And long story short, we kind of got away from, you know, our core thesis, which is to buy really good growth companies, companies that have very, very high moats, that have a lot of intellectual capital, technology, build products that can't be easily replicated with global distribution channels, with really smart CEOs, most of whom I know and talk to, so I can understand their companies, and most very importantly, very good balance sheets, so they're not crippled by higher interest rates. And I reset our books in December and January, and we own a terrific stable of companies. And so how you have it set, if the bear market is 75 to 80% over, it's like waiting on a pitch. And I've said this to many people, it's tough to have the patience to wait for the pitch, but we've been able to buy some stuff that was 60 times earnings that we're buying at 23 times earnings, and companies that are growing at 15% top line with huge moats to their businesses. That gets me fired up and excited about how we're going to do in the next cycle. And Sandhill, in the last cycle, our equities net of fees were up over 1,000% or 10x. We made a lot of people a lot of money.
We only have a couple minutes left here, Timmy, so I'm going to ask you one more question here. I got to ask you one more question before we go. You also mentioned the pain is not over, you will be ready when to throw. In other words, don't throw in the towel yet. But when will the pain be over, in your opinion? I know it's just a guess, but we're at, and you mentioned this earlier, but we've got about less than a minute left. But tell me what your thoughts are there quickly.
First half of 23.
Okay, good. Well, I think that's good news for
The stock market went up 10% in July. Everybody said we're fine. From August 1st to now, it's just been a bloodbath. Market's gone up 8 or 9% in October. People are saying it's over. Two things. It will stop when the Federal Reserve stops raising interest rates. That's when the market will be ready to go up, and we're not there yet. As you pointed out, the economy's still healthy. That's good. They're still going to keep tapping the brakes, and as long as they keep tapping the brakes, the market will not go up. First half of 23, we're 80% of the way there. Don't blink, because the stock market captures inflation, and it's the greatest wealth-creating vehicle in this country.
Edwin Johnston, the founder of Sandhill Investment Management, thanks very much for being with us this morning.
Have a great day, Peter. Thank you.
You too, Timmy. And I'd like to remind everybody to be safe with their families and their children as we approach Halloween. Today's a big day for the Sabres, and tomorrow is a huge day for the Bills. Go Sabres and go Bills. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.